Greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience radio ministry. Today we're going to continue with this fascinating story of Jesus washing his disciples' feet. Before we continue, however, let us pray. Father, we pray now for your Holy Spirit to grant divine illumination on the declaration of thy sacred word. In Jesus' name, amen. Our text is from John 13, but I shall read to you just the section that pertains to Peter in this foot-washing service. For those coming on board, just the day before Jesus was crucified, he invited his disciples to a supper. During the supper, Jesus arose and he girded himself with a towel. He took a basin, filled it with water, and he began to wash the disciples' feet. Jesus then makes the rounds and goes from one disciple to another until he comes to Peter. And here is our text for the day. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter says unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter says unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter says unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus says to him, He that is washed needeth not to save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore he said, Ye are not all clean. Last Sunday we considered the contrasts in this passage. John brings in contrasts. He's particularly brilliant in his contrast between light and darkness, a theme he brings into the Gospel of John and carries on through the epistles. And if you noticed last week, we have the contrast between Judas and Jesus here. Remember, it was at this supper that Satan put it in the heart of Judas to betray our Lord. And it is later on in this passage that we find out that the devil actually did enter into Judas. So we have here a man full of the devil and a man full of God. His name is Jesus. A great contrast, isn't it? But today we go to a third man that played a vital role in his foot washing service at the Last Supper, the day before the crucifixion. And his name is Peter. Peter's name occurs 94 times in the Gospels. John mentions him 32 times, but only twice before this passage here in John 13. After this, John mentions Peter 29 times. So from the day of the foot washing until Jesus' ascension, John really tells us a lot about this chief apostle, Peter. Let's consider the first reference to Peter in the Gospel of John, and that is Peter's call to discipleship in John chapter 1. The second reference to Peter is in John 6, where Jesus preached a sermon that was very hard on the disciples, and many disciples of the Lord then left him, and Peter was then responding to Jesus' question, Are you also going to leave me? And he said, Lord, where shall we go? For you have the words of eternal life. Here then in John 13, the text before us, has a third reference to Peter in the Gospel of John. So what happened here is that Jesus, the Son of God, God in Christ, put on an apron. And I said last week, here we see divinity dressed up in an apron. In the secular world, kings wear crowns. But in the kingdom of God, kings wear aprons. The apron here is a symbol of humility. It is a symbol of servanthood. God in an apron. What a preposterous thought and what a preposterous picture. My friend, you better wear an apron. You better become a servant, because only those who wear an apron now in this life will be able to receive a crown in the life to come. So you must have the apron in this life to exchange it for a crown in the life to come. The revelation tells us we are kings and priests. Yes, we are kings on this earth, like Jesus was a king. But we, like Jesus, are kings wearing aprons. So many churches today say, well, we need to run our churches like a business, like successful business executives run their companies. But I say to you, no way, no way. The kingdom of God is not of this world. We don't run churches like the world runs their businesses. No way. We don't need men with crowns, with pride, the pride of accomplishment on our church boards. We need men with aprons of humility on our church boards. Oh, they may not know much about the business of the world, but they will know a lot about the business of the King of Kings, which operates on an entirely different set of principles than the businessmen of the world know about. So here we find Jesus making the rounds and washing the disciples' feet. And every one of his disciples just lets him do it. But then Jesus comes to Peter, and my friend, here is a picture of a breakout man. Because when Jesus began to approach Peter to wash his feet, he responded by saying, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? The Amplified Bible puts it, Lord, are my feet to be washed by you? Or another translation says, is it for you to wash my feet? Again, none of the other disciples protested, but just let Jesus do it. But Peter was a breakout man. Over and over again, in all four Gospels, you see Peter as a breakout man. Peter was a man who suddenly said, wait a minute, what's going on here? Oh, hold it here. What are we doing here? Why are we here? Oh, I love the breakout men. No wonder Jesus wanted Peter with him on the Mount of Transfiguration. No wonder when Jesus asked his disciples, who do the people say that I am? And they answered him. And then Jesus said to them, who do you think I am? And Peter exclaimed without hesitation, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. No wonder Jesus gave unto him the keys of the kingdom of heaven. It was Peter who had the privilege of opening up the day of Pentecost with the first sermon ever preached under the anointing and power of the Holy Spirit. What we see here today in Peter and the story of the foot washing is, first of all, that he was a breakout man. He broke away from the crowd. He had the boldness to stand up and to stand out. The second thing I want to bring to your attention today is that Peter was a man of deep humility. As Jesus approached Peter with his basin of water to wash his feet, Peter said immediately, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? In other words, Peter did not think he was worthy. He did not think he was worthy to have Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, the Messiah, the Creator of the universe, to wash his feet. The others let him do it, but not so Peter. It was just too much for him to handle. Peter was a man of great humility. Oh yes, sometimes his motives were misdirected, but my friend, not very often. Not very often. No one tried as hard to stay with Jesus and to serve him day and night as Peter and John, because they knew that Jesus was worthy of every ounce of their energy 24 hours a day. It was these two men who stayed with Jesus all the way when Jesus was in prison in the house of Caiaphas, the high priest. The rest of them were gone. Oh, Peter denied the Lord three times, but at least, my friend, he was there. So we have Peter, the breakout man. We have Peter, a humble man. And thirdly, we have Peter, a man who desired purity with all his heart. So the story goes that Jesus says, what I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. And Peter says unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Then Simon Peter says unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. It is about cleanness. Peter says, I want all of it. Whatever it is all about, I want it. Because you see, in the next passage, Jesus says, that he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. Peter wanted to be clean. And that's our first impression of Peter, isn't it, that we get at the very beginning of the Gospels. Our first impression of Peter is that he knew that sin was dirt, and dirt separated man from God. Remember the story when Jesus took Peter fishing? They caught this great multitude of fish, and Peter fell on his knees in the boat, and he said, "Lord, depart from me, a sinful man." That's the beginning of the history of the life of Peter. "Lord, I'm not worthy to be in your presence. I'm a sinner." Here you have it again, humility and the desire for purity and the breakout man. Other disciples were in the boat, but they said nothing. But Peter said, "Lord, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man." My friend, do you know what Peter knew? Do you know that sin separates you from God? Whether you are Hindu or Buddhist, or whether you are a Muslim or a Jew or a Christian, sin separates man from God. That's a universal principle, and you can't get away from it. The wages of sin is death, the Bible says. Do you know that? Peter wanted to be clean. He said, "Whatever it takes, Jesus. If it's about cleanness, purity," he says, "I want it all. If it takes you throwing me in the bathtub," he says, "go ahead and do it. I want to be clean so I can stay with you, Lord Jesus, forever and ever." Let me ask you, my friend, if Jesus would be here physically and if he would go through your house, what would he find in your house? Would your home speak to him of cleanness? Would there be any videotapes that you would be ashamed of? Would there be any television program you're watching that has ungodly scenes in it of foolishness or jesting or violence or immorality? Would there be in your home a whole stack of magazines of pornography, of material things, of things that glitter and shine? Or would Jesus find in your home the magazines and the books that are speaking of walking with God, of prayer and of holiness? What would Jesus find in your checkbook? If he reviewed your checking account to see where your money has gone, would he find that you have been a generous giver for the things of the kingdom of God? And then as Jesus would look into your heart and into your thoughts, what would he find? Peter said, "I want to be clean." Do you, my friend, want to be clean? Is it any wonder that Jesus gave the keys to the kingdom of heaven to Peter because he was willing to stand up and out for his faith, because he was a man of great humility and of great purity? Isn't that true that the greatest men in the Bible who gave us the most were all willing to stand up, to stand out, and that they were men of great humility and purity, like Moses, like the prophets, like Peter, and like Paul? Yes, indeed, Jesus wants to give you keys to great things also. Jesus has more keys in his storage room for things he wants to accomplish, and he's looking for people who are worthy to receive those keys. For some, he has keys for the salvation of souls. For others, for the salvation or the sanctification of souls. Yet for others, he has keys to lift people out of discouragement or out of weakness to strength. For some, he has keys in the area of prayer and divine healing. But if you want to have keys of the kingdom, my friend, you must be bold, and you must be meek, and you must be pure. Our Father, we pray now for the Holy Spirit to burn these marvelous truths into our hearts, that we might catch on to this beautiful spirit that Peter had. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. I am Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry. Goodbye now until next week.